Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the king.
what you can do. Praise Him anyway.
Tonight, because we're two or more gathered in the name of Jesus, the word declares that He'd be in the midst of us. So we thank God that the presence of the Lord, amen, is right here on this line tonight during our Word Wednesday. We thank God as we go into the Word of God that our minds and our hearts and our spirits will be edified and strengthened and encouraged tonight in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. We recognize this Christmas season, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we thank You for this word tonight. We thank You for the lesson tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, use me, Your man servant, in a mighty way. We thank You in advance that we're going higher. We thank You in advance, Lord, for revelation of Your word. We thank You in advance in the name of Jesus for a new, fresh anointing from glory. Now, thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, glory be to God. Before we even talk about the topic, just turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 2. The Gospel according to Luke chapter number 2. During this holiday season, we're not going there tonight, but I'd like to read the account of the birth of Jesus and born in a manger and just remind myself and the angels rejoicing. Just remind ourselves as believers, amen, what the season is really all about. We are in a day where so much is going on as it pertains to political correctness, but we know the reason for the season. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. But Luke chapter number 2, looking at verse number 42, and then we're going to disclose what we're going to be talking about tonight in the name of Jesus. But let us read first. Luke 2:42 says this, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him having to been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you dealt with us this way? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. Verse 49 says this, And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist not you know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, both his mother and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Mary kept all of these things in her heart. At 12 years of age, Jesus had a certain mindset. He was about his father's business. Amen, somebody. He was about the business of God the Father. He knew why he came to the earth. He knew John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him shall never perish, but shall have eternal life. Jesus came on assignment. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He knew his assignment because he had a certain mindset. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, developing the mind of Christ. Developing the mind of Christ. We, you know, whether we like it or not, you and I, Jesus was 12, and that's why I chose to go to, you know, we're going to look at age 30 and 33 where he did his earthly ministry. But I wanted to go back to his childhood to show you and I that he had a certain mindset even early on, that his parents that raised him, Mary and Joseph, they knew there was something special about him. But even at this stage, they did not have a certain mindset as it pertained to the things of God. But Jesus was there talking to the doctors, talking to the Pharisees, interacting with the religious elite of that day. He knew that he must be about his father's business. And you and I, we have been programmed, again, whether we like it or not, through music, through television, through media, now social media. We have so many things through our educational system, so many things that conditioned us to think a certain way. And the 12 disciples had Jesus and sat at the feet of Jesus, and they finally got the mind of Christ. They finally got a certain mindset where they can perform healings and miracles and see the supernatural. And we serve a supernatural God. Amen, somebody. And he's still doing signs, wonders, and miracles in the earth realm. God healed me of cancer. And I saw God right there. And that was a supernatural miracle from God to extend my years on this earth. There's so many who have lost the battle against cancer. But I thank God, I thank God that he gave me grace and that he gave me mercy, and that he extended my years on this earth. Nothing but by the grace of Almighty God. We can never forget how God has been good to us. Maybe it wasn't cancer for you, but if you on this line tonight, you got a testimony. I know you see, last time I taught, it was on a topic called It's Just a Test. And we go through so many trials and so many tests to stir up our faith and to put God to the test at his word. And when we develop the mind of Christ, we can be used mightily by God to change this world. Jesus at 12 had a certain mindset. And as we look, we're going to look at the first miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine. And the disciples, it was a process. Just like with you and I, it's a process. I've been a born-again, baptized, Holy Ghost-filled believer for over 2 decades now, saved for almost 23, 24 years. And I came into the church right from the clubs, right from the party scene, right from the world, and there's so much that I had to unlearn. There's so much that I had to deprogram. There's so many things that I had to undo and unthink. And when we change the way that we think, God can do great things in and through our lives. Let's look at why Jesus performed this miracle found in John chapter number 2. Now we looked at Luke chapter number 2. Now go to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. As you know, me and Pastor Rebecca, we on these Wednesday nights, we like to travel through the Bible, the Old and New Testament alike, just to get you familiar with the Word of God. I actually love the Word of God. I love the Logos. It's called the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, the canon of Scripture, the Old and New Testament, the Old and New Covenant, the Bible. It never gets outdated. It never gets boring. It never gets obsolete. Although the world wants it to, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. Come on. But my Word will remain forever. He said, glory be to God. He said he had put his name above his word. The name above the word. The word is a powerful thing. We got to mix the word with faith, and then we begin to see great things. I gave the testimony of, now I have a book called Victory Over Cancer, Winning Every Battle in Life. I pray if you don't have a copy that you would get a copy of that book. I promise you, it will bless you and help you in so many areas. Just highlight it and mark it up, and if there's something that catches your attention, just reread it, because I shared a lot of my personal experience as I had that battle with cancer for almost 2 years. But in that book, I talk about the importance of the Word of God. I go into detail about how I put my Bible on my bed and how God instructed me to read Psalm 91 every single day in the hospital. We're not going to go there tonight, but he says at the end of that psalm, I will satisfy you with long life. He says it in that psalm that no sickness and no plague will come near your dwelling. He says in that psalm that 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 will fall at your right side, but it will not harm you. He said, don't be afraid of the owl that fly by day or the pestilence that go around at night. Come on. He says in that psalm that they who abide in the secret place of the Most High God shall dwell under the mighty. And that psalm blesses me. It blesses me. They that trust in the Lord, he will give his angels charge to watch over you and I. So I read that scripture every day. That's why I can just quote it, and that's why I know so many verses of it, because he told me to read it and memorize it every day when the demons tried to torment me. The demons tried to speak to me as I was in pain and agony, and I felt defeated and like a failure, and like my life was slipping away. He said, no, speak in tongues, read Psalm 91. And now I'm here, giving this Bible study, back to my normal life. Amen. Come on, somebody. With man, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Maybe you're facing an impossible situation right now. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight where it looked impossible, but God made a way. I pray you're in John chapter number 2. It's hard to keep up with Pastor on these Wednesday night because I just let the I prepare. I have a lot of scripture. I have a lot of notes. I have a lot of bullet points. But God always take control. And I just flow with him on these Wednesdays night because Pastor and I are prophetic. And when you're prophetic, your spirit is open. When you're apostolic, you just go according to the will of Almighty God. You let him lead. Amen, somebody. But John chapter number 2 says this. I don't want to read. I might have to read most of it. Yeah, let's start at verse number 1. John 2, verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. I'm going to just sidebar just for a minute and make this point. We must participate in our miracle. I'm going to say that again. There's a part that we have to play in God performing miracles in and through our lives. We're going to look at that tonight also. There was always something that he asked of the person who was believing him for the miracle. There was always a participating part that we played in a participation of our miracle. If you want to see the manifestation of miracles, God is going to ask you to be a participant. Just why the mother of Jesus said right here, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So they had to participate in this miracle of turning water into wine. Verse number 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 pieces or gallons of water. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. They participated. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants that drew the water, the ones that filled it up to the brim, the ones that the mother told what to do, the ones that knew this miracle had taken place because they participated, they knew, but the governor of the feast did not know where this wine came from. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said unto them, every man at the beginning put out the best wine. And then when the men are drunk, they put out the worst wine. But you have kept the best wine until now. And verse number 11 is on our topic tonight, developing the mind of Christ. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And his disciples believed on him. They begin now to put their trust in Jesus. They begin now to follow Jesus and forsake everything else. They begin now to change their mindset and learn from him. But it took a miracle to get their attention. And sometimes God wants to give you a miracle. Sometimes God wants to do a supernatural thing in your life so that you can stick with him. Because the devil of this world is always going to try to snatch you and I back. The devil of this world, the thief, John 10:10, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you may have it to the fullest, to the abundance. He want your marriage to work. He want your business to thrive. He want you to live a long, happy, healthy life. God wants to take you from poverty to wealth. God wants you to have joy instead of sadness and depression. That's the abundant life Jesus came to give to you and I. When we talk about developing the mind of Christ, developing the mind of Christ, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I think I made my point out of John 2. The miracle was to get their attention and to begin to change their mindset. But go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Because this is one scripture that you should get familiar with. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. If you're not familiar with it, highlight it and mark it down as one that you should try to meditate on and remember. Because we're talking, again, about developing the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote. He wants the mind of Jesus to be in us. The Apostle Paul wrote that in one of the epistles. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But when we're talking about changing the way that we think and developing the mind of Christ, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he says this in his 12th chapter, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is, the mindset, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Those that reject the knowledge of God, those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, those that want no part to do with Christianity and the body of Christ, those who are part of other false religions, those who are serving false gods, those who are atheists and agnostic, the Bible says they're high-minded. They're the folk that you can't tell nothing. They're the ones who are walking around full of pride. They're the elite, the arrogant ones. They're the ones that in Jesus' day, he called them hypocrites. They are the ones that could not continue to learn. One thing my mother, Dorothy Simmons, taught me and all of her children, she would say this throughout our entire lives. She would say, I'm old, and somebody can always teach me something. Always be teachable, she would say. Always keep an open mind. Always have an objective mindset. My mother always tried to learn, always tried to do new things, always tried to be open-minded. In a closed mind, a closed heart, a closed hand, God can never bless. We got to open up our heart first and let him in. He says, I stand at the heart and I knock. And if anyone let me in, I'm coming in. We got to now open up our mindset. This is why we go to church. This is why we come to Bible study. This is why we pray. Because we have to deprogram and unlearn some of the things that we learned from the world. Again, when I came into the things of God, I came from a broken home. I grew up in those clubs and a party scene. I did the alcohol, the drugs. I don't know what impact that had on my mindset, but I came into the body of Christ broken, a broken vessel. And I thank God that our church was a teaching church. Our church was an apostolic prophetic church. They were holy, they were Pentecostal, but they taught the word of God. And Pastor Rebecca and I, we got that word, and that word came in, and that word changed our lives, and the word will change your life as well. But as we take this word in, let it minister to your mindset in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight because God wants to do something wonderful and great in your life. And as I said, Jesus was 12. He had a certain mindset. Now, as we look at the first miracle, he's now age 30. He's about to do 3.5 years of ministry, but he performed that first miracle around age 30. Now his disciples have the opportunity to change the way that they think, to change their mindset. Now, let's look at one example of how Jesus was teaching them when he was with them. Look at Mark chapter number 8, verse number 14. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter number 8, verse number 14. Jesus was always teaching. He always took opportunity to teach the 12. Every chance he got, if it was a teachable moment, Jesus took advantage of it. Mark chapter 8, verse number 13. 14. Let's go to 13 so we can get an idea of what's going on here. Verse 13 says this, "And he left them, and entering into a ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread." They forgot the bread. "Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf of bread." They forgot to bring more bread, but they did have one loaf of bread on board. "And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned, this is their mindset, "and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not, yet you don't understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, you see not, and having ears, you hear not, and do not remember when I break the 5 loaves of bread and fed the 5,000, and how many baskets did I have left? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7, he said they had fragments left. And verse number 21 says this, and he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Jesus said to the disciples, I'm not talking about natural bread. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of this world. Don't let the philosophies and the mindset and the worldliness and the carnality and a natural way of thinking rule and govern your life no longer. He said, beware of that. I gave you a miracle of feeding 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 2 loaves of bread and 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They get on the boat right after this miracle, and they're going to the other side of the lake, and they're arguing amongst themselves about natural bread, and Jesus said, you need to change the way that you think. I'm talking about supernatural things. I'm trying to teach you about spiritual things. And he took that opportunity to teach them, don't worry about natural bread. I show you what I can do with a little. You got 1 loaf of bread on this boat, we good. We good. It's all good. I showed you what I can do with 5,000 people. It's only 12, you 12 and me. So I'm not talking about natural bread. I can feed an army if I want to. He was trying to get them to change the way that they think. Amen, somebody. To God be all the glory. God wants us to really experience. I was watching a preacher the other day, and he said, when you have an encounter and an experience with God, nobody can tell you nothing. I'll never forget coming up. We came up in a mega church, and we didn't see it too often. But sometimes when I went to some of the smaller ministries, they had testimonial services. And people would stand up and testify. And then somebody on the other side of the church would testify. And somebody else would stand up and testify. And this would go on for a good while. People would just stand up and testify of the goodness of Jesus. He woke me up this morning. He kept a roof over my head. He kept clothes on my back. He kept me in my right mind. He brought me out of the hospital. He saved my marriage. He got me out of jail. And they would just give testimony services. And sometimes, we got away, our modern day church has gotten away from that. And I don't know if that's good or bad, because sometimes we have to remember the goodness of Jesus. And all, I'm going to try not to preach tonight. The goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God that I'm a living testimony. I thank God that you are a living testimony. And like Todd Tibbett said, if he did it before, he will do it again. I don't know who that's for tonight. If he did it before, he will do it again. If you're in an impossible situation and he got you out before, he will get you out this time. If you have a situation that's beyond you, he will get you out this time. If you're facing something that's bigger than you, God will deliver you this time. If he did it before, he will do it again. Amen, somebody. To God be all the glory. Let's look at this. My mind is just racing. Even as I'm talking and ministering, my mind is racing because I want to go in so many different directions. But we want to go here. We want to go here because we can never forget. Never forget. He was rebuking the disciples because he said, don't you remember? We just left that miracle. You forgot that quickly. And sometimes our problems, our circumstances, what we're facing in life, puts us in a fog. Our mind gets so preoccupied with what we're dealing with in the moment instead of putting our minds on rewind and saying, Lord, you've been good to me. I'm gonna give you a praise right now. That's why my wife, whether it's at our church or on the prayer line, even in our home, she don't mind praising God. She's gonna praise God because he took her from welfare to Wall Street. Amen, somebody. He, as a teenage mother, God made a way for my wife. As a high school dropout, God made a way for her to sell stocks and bonds and trades on Wall Street, get a Series 7 degree. Glory be to God. So nothing's impossible with Almighty God. She gives a testimony in a couple of her books how she was in the welfare office, and she was changing her mindset even back then because she said, I don't want this. I want a job. I don't want to just collect a check for the rest of my life. I want to work with computers. I want to do something better, something more. I want to gain a greater income. And it always starts with you and I. You have to want greater. You have to give God something to bless. You have to give God something to work with. That's why, there's so many people that talk faith. But Paul said, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. He said, faith without works is dead. So every time we go to church, every time we open the doors to the church, every time you come to this prayer line, every time you come to Bible study, every time you come to Sunday worship service, you are showing God your faith. You're giving him something to bless. There are so many Christians in this day, they're staying home on Sunday, and it's not pleasing God. It is not pleasing God. Even here, as we open up the Bible study tonight, it was a three-day journey to the church. A three-day journey to go to Jerusalem to worship. That's how important it was to go to church. And now we're in a day where believers don't feel the need or the desire or the sense of urgency to go to the house of God. We have to rebuke that devil in that mindset and get back to God's house. Take care of God's church. It's a lighthouse to this world. A strong church in every community would make this world a better place. But if churches get weak, if churches get empty, if church doors continue to close, then the culture continues to fall down. Immorality continues to go up. We have to take care of God's house. We got to be like Jesus. I'm talking about developing the mind of Christ. We got to be about our Father's business as well. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's look at, it's two scriptures I'm going to go to, Philippians chapter 3 and then Isaiah 43. But let's go to Isaiah 43 first. Isaiah 43 first. As we're approaching the new year, you know, people, I preach this a lot of New Year's messages, and I just think, and I'm feeling this in my spirit tonight, that God is going to do something new in somebody's life tonight. So somebody's going to do something different. Somebody's going to try something different. Somebody's going to start doing different activities and different rituals and different things, and God is paying attention. When I first went to church, the Bible study was on a Thursday night, and that's the night me and my coworkers would always go to the bar. Thursday night was our night to hang out, and I had to make a choice, make a decision to go down to the church or keep making the decision to go and hang out with my fellas and my boys on Thursday night. And I chose to do something different. I chose to go to the church. I chose to give up my Thursdays for the things of God. And I'm so glad I began to make that decision. God will bless your action. He will bless your performance. No, you can't work. You can't earn the blessings and the mercies of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God, the Bible, Jesus said you can't have nothing unless you receive it from glory first. So there's nothing that we can earn. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn blessings. We can't work enough to earn anything. God blesses us just because he's God. But here in Isaiah chapter number 43, and maybe you're going through this, but prayerfully, this is going to bless you. Look at verse number 43, verse number 2, if you're going through anything tonight. Isaiah 43, verse number 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Glory. I can just preach the rest of the night right there from verse number 2. When you go through the waters, you will not drown. When you go through the fire, you will not burn. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, the fourth man showed up. And whatever you're walking through right now, pastor, preach it on Sunday, walk it out. whatever you're walking through right now, he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I will always be with you. You're going through in your marriage, God is with you. You're going through in your finances and in your workplace and in your business, God is with you. Your health is trying to fail. Sickness and disease is plaguing your body. You're waking up in pain. You're confused in your mind. God is with you. Hallelujah. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Glory be to Almighty God. If God be for you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So we're going to go through some hot situations. We're going to go through some floods. You know, now when the house is in foreclosure and the person didn't pay their mortgage in over a year, they say, oh, that house is underwater. That means that there's so much debt on that property. There's a lien against that house. That house is underwater. It's way above that person's head. And sometimes life can be that way. We can get overwhelmed. We can get so burdened. And Jesus promises to be with us. Let's move on, because there's so much more I want to share tonight. We're still in Isaiah chapter number 43. Look at verse number 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way, here it is, in the wilderness. I will make a way in the wilderness. A wilderness represents things that there's no resources. There's no food or water. There's no shelter. You're in the wilderness. And he said, I will make a way in the wilderness. God will make a way for you to get out of any and every situation that you find yourself in. I was in that hospital, and they released me, and I had complications, and a week later, I was back in the hospital, and I said, God, what mean is this? But I had no idea he was about to reverse the curse. He was telling me, Anthony, I'm about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I could not walk. I was in so much pain. I just got released out of the hospital. I had an ileostomy bag on me. I was home for about a week. Now back in the hospital after 2 weeks of being in the hospital. I said, God, what meaneth this? And he was about to reverse the curse. Within 21 days, glory be to God, my body was back to normal. Within 21 days, I was back, hallelujah, glory be to God, to being myself. In 21 days, God gave me a miracle. He said to me back then, behold, I do a new thing. And I'm saying that to you who are listening tonight. Do you not perceive it? God is doing a new thing in your family. God is doing a new thing in your marriage. God is doing a new thing in your relationship. God is doing a new thing with your business. God, Pastor Rebecca, I hope you're listening. God is doing a new thing at New Creation. Glory be to God. God is up to something, and it's all good. Bless his holy name. We serve an awesome God. Don't let this devil defeat you. You just got to shake certain things off. You're never defeated. You might be down, but you're not defeated ever. God is saying to you and I tonight, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. That's right from Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. I pray that this is blessing somebody tonight as we develop the mind of Christ. We got to know that when we go through, God is with us. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he knew God was with him. When he was tempted by the devil, he knew God was with him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, "Can you take this cup from me?" And he dropped sweats of blood, and it was like blood dripping from his brow. And he prayed earnestly 3 times, asked his disciples to pray with him. And he said, "Father, can you take this cup from me?" And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." Yes, he was very man. Yes, he was very God. But in that moment, he was all man. He needed God. But God was with him, just like God is with you. "Yea, though I walk through..." See, that's not even in my notes, but we're going there tonight. We're going there tonight. Psalm number 23. Turn to the 23rd Psalm. That means somebody needs to hear this tonight. It's not in my notes. I had no intentions on going to the 23rd Psalm. And I actually need to see it myself. But Psalm number 23. Turn to Psalm number 23 in your Bibles and say it out loud with me. I know you can hear me, but I want you to say it out loud. Psalm number 23. Let us read it together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make me lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restore my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy is following you, people of God. God has anointed your head with oil. Your cup's about to run over. God's about to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. God's about to show somebody off. Somebody's been hoping that you fail. Somebody's been seeing your circumstance and hope that you, glory be to God, don't get through or don't get out of it. Somebody's been watching you, and they have not been rooting for you. And God says, "I'm about to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies." They're going to see you get blessed. They're going to see how much God loves you. They're going to see with their own eyes the goodness of God toward his sons and his daughters. You are the light of this world. You are the salt of this earth. And God wants to use you. But you got to have the mind of Christ. We must develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter number 3. And we're almost done. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven nature sing. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Thank you, Jesus." Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13, developing the mind of Christ, Paul, the great apostle Paul, had to develop the mind of Christ. Yes, on the road to Damascus, God dealt with him. God gave him a new mindset. God blinded him and then sent him to Ananias and restored his sight. And Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament because he developed a new mindset, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. He said, it's no longer I, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. No longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. He began to develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and then we're going to stop tonight. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of God and the high calling of Jesus Christ. Too many people are stuck in the past. Too many people live in the past. Too many people reminisce, and God is saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. God has every blessing that we need in front of us. God has a wonderful future in front of you. God has a wonderful life ahead of you. But we got to have the mind of Christ, and we got to be like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward those things which are in front of me. I press. I pray that you're pressing for prosperity. I pray that you're pressing towards the purpose that God put on your life. I pray that you're pursuing, oh, glory be to God, the promises of God, which are yes and amen. I pray tonight that you press and push past everything trying to keep you stuck in the past. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, developing the mind of Christ. Lord, help us to change the way that we think. Your word says that we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. As a man thinketh, so is he. So God, thoughts become things, and we want the mind of Christ. If our minds be stayed on you, your words say you will keep us in perfect peace. So Jesus, help our mindset tonight. We thank you that we're on a wonderful journey, and the promises of God and our destiny is ahead of us in Jesus' wonderful name. And people of God say, amen. We thank God for you tonight. I pray that you was blessed by this lesson, this word tonight, developing the mind of Christ. Come to church, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. When we preach, when we prophesy, when we pray, we're changing the way that we think. We're changing our mindset. And just, you know, you, me, we all got to be deprogrammed. We all got to change the channels that's in our minds. And God is saying tonight, I have so much that I want to give to you, but there's so many Christians, so many believers that are still drinking milk, and God wants to give us meat. But he's not going to give you the meat of the word until you change your mindset. So many people, so many Christians are still there stuck on meat, and God is saying, no, get off of that baby bottle, get off of that pacifier. We want the deeper things of God. In that new creation, we have a wonderful local body of believers that want the deeper things of God. On this prayer line, we have people who are serious about the deeper things of God. We not playing church. We trying to understand greater is coming. So as you develop this new mindset, I believe God's going to give you more and more and more and more. but we have to have the mindset and the capacity to receive what he wants to give to us. Amen. So as you develop your mindset and mature in the things of God, greater is coming into your life. Please sow a seed. Go to nccmonline.org. $20, $10, $5, whatever the Lord placed on your heart. If you don't have it, you know, I get paid every Friday on my job. Maybe you're going to sow this weekend. But whenever you get around to it, I pray that you can get to your internet or your smartphone and hit the donate button. And Pastor Rebecca and I, the New Creation Church family, we do receive. Some of you give on a regular basis, and we thank you for that. And I personally, Pastor Rebecca, want to say thank you to those of you who give on a regular basis. We thank God for you. You keep the doors of our church open, and we thank you for that. So we thank you in advance for your faithful giving, those of you that would sow a seed this week. God bless you. Good night. Love you. Those of you who are in the New Jersey area, we will see you Sunday at 12:30 service. There is a word from the Lord for you. God bless. Good night.